Shalom to all! In today's Afim Mishnah, we're going to learn Masechet Chulin, Perek Tes Mishnah Beis through Perek Yud, Mishnah Gimel. Now over here, Mishnah Beis, we have a contrast. Elu She'er Sein Kibsaron, the following, their hide is like their basar. It's not that it works only by way of tziruf, by combination. The hide is actually considered like the flesh, like the meat, and that's either because it's soft and edible, or it's because it's just considered one with the thing. So number one is Arha Adam, the skin of a person, that's considered part of the person. Also, we have a person who passed away, so their skin is Metame Tumas Meis, just like their flesh is. Va'ar chazer shel yishuv, and the skin of a chazer which is raised in the yishuv, it's raised among people, that's very soft and that's eaten. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, af ar chazer abar, even the skin of a wild chazer, va'ar chatoter shel gamal aracha, and the skin of the hump of a young camel which has never carried a load on it, va'ar harosh shel egal arach, and the skin of the head of a young calf who's still nursing, va'ar parasos, and the skin or the hide right around the hooves of the animal, va'ar beis habayshes, and the skin near the private part of an animal, va'ar hashlil, and the skin of the fetus of an animal, va'ar shetachas ha'alya, and the skin underneath the tail, and the skin of these four types of shrotzim, these are creepy crawlies, like lizards and other things like that, that their skin is exactly like their basar because it's very soft. Whereas Rabbi Huda says, that the lata, which is some type of lizard, that's really like a weasel, and its skin is not like its flesh. Now, vakulon, all these we mentioned, she'ibdon, if the skin was processed, if the hide was tanned, or it was walked on, the amount of time it would take to actually tan it, tahirin, then they're tahar, because they're not considered an edible skin that's part of the animal anymore. Now they're considered processed to be used as a hide or some sort of leather or whatever it is. And so the tahar, chutz me'ara adam, except for people's skin, a skin of a human being, even if that's processed and for whatever reason they're trying to tan it or do something to it to be able to use it, it's still metame. Now one last din regarding these shrotzim that we mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Yehoyamer, he says, shmeina shrotzim yesh lahen ayros, all eight shrotzim that the Torah mentions, there's eight different types of creepy crawlies that are called shrotzim that are not considered like all other bugs. They have a totally different din of Tumah, all eight of them, not just four as we mentioned earlier in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, all eight are considered to have R, and their R is not like their basar, so he argues with the Reish in the Mishnah. And we keep discussing Tumas Oichlin, and remember we had mentioned yesterday that it's not just food itself that can become Tameh or transfers Tumah to something else. If we have something connected to the food, for example, the skin, the hide, the R, that sometimes could be considered part of the flesh, part of the meat itself, and would be able to join in, let's say, for the shear of being able to contract Tumah or to transfer its Tumah to something else, and other dinim as well. And so now we're going to learn about two more things that are relevant to this discussion. One is called shomer, one is called yad. Shomer literally means something that protects, and yad literally means a handle. So say, for example, we have a fruit that has a peel, such as an orange. The orange peel is called the shomer of the pri. It's protecting the fruit. It's not actually edible itself. Those are going to be eating chocolate-covered orange peels, but really it's considered not edible, and therefore it on its own cannot contract Tumas Eichlin. However, since it is the shomer of the pri, it is guarding the fruit, it's part of it, and it's helping it out. Therefore, in regards to Tumah, it is considered part of the fruit. And the same thing with the yad, with the handle. Continuing with our example of fruit, such as if you have an apple that has a stem coming out of it. The stem is the yad, it's the handle of the fruit. Sometimes you don't want to touch the apple, and you're going to hold it by the stem. And therefore, the stem is the yad, it's considered connected to it in regards to Tumah as well. And so here we take these two dinim of shomer and yad and apply them to animals. The skin, the hide, the R of the animal is considered its shomer, it's protecting it, and also sometimes could be considered the yad, the handle. And over here, the main focus is going to be when we have an animal that was shechted, now we're going to be skinning it. We're going to be taking off the skin and using it for something else. So while the skin is still attached to the animal, it would be considered the shomer. It wouldn't even necessarily be a yad, as when tummy touches it, so it would become tummy, or if the animal itself is tummy, it would be able to transfer that tuma through its skin. But now let's say we're starting the skinning process, and part of it's peeled away from the body. Now taking this all the way to the end of the line, once the skin is ready off the animal, or let's say for the most part off the animal, so it's not considered a shomer anymore of it, because it's not really connected to the animal. Never in regards to tumah, it's not part of the animal. But what about during the skinning process? At some point in time, it's considered the yad, the handle of the meat, and at some point in time already, it's not considered the yad anymore. And that's the main focus. Says the Mishnah, hamafshit behemah b'chaya. If someone is skinning a behemah or chaya, that's a domesticated or non-domesticated animal, batar batmei, or whether it's tar or tameh, meaning it was shechted perfectly fine and the animal is kosher, or it's tamei, meaning the animal being skinned right now is tamei kazim nevela. Also, bedaku bagaso. We could be talking about small animals or large animals, such as sheep, that would be a small animal, or a cow, which is a large animal. So with all these variables, it really depends how it's being skinned. Lishatiach, if the skin, the hide, is going to be used for shatiach, which in modern Hebrew is translated as a carpet, basically you're trying to take off the hide in as large and wide of a piece as possible. And the way that they do this is by making a long cut from the neck of the animal all the way down to the bottom, and then starting to to peel away the skin whole if they're successful in that venture. So then it turns out that they have a piece of leather or a piece of skin that wraps around the entire body of the animal, and that means it's pretty large. So that's why they're skinning an animal. It's considered attached to the animal only kidei achiza, up until he peels away a handhold's worth of skin or of hide. Because up until then, when he has only a little bit of the hide pulled away, it's very difficult to detach it from the animal. It's still stuck to the animal, and therefore it's considered part of the animal. It would be the yad of the animal. However, once a fistful, a kidei achiza, a handhold's worth, is peeled away from the animal, it's very easy from there just to continue peeling away the rest, and so it's not considered the yad of the animal anymore. Due to this fact, again, it's very easily peeled away, so it's not really connected. Now, ulechemes, if the way they're skinning the animal is to be able to use it for a chemes, which is a flask, basically they would take a full animal skin, as full as possible, close up the bottom, and then put wine or water inside, and they have a great flask. So the way they would do this is by just making a slice right around the neck, and then peeling all that skin downwards over the breast, and then over the stomach, and then down to the bottom. Then you basically have a cylindrical piece of hide, maybe with a little hole in the bottom and a small hole in the top. So in this situation, ad shiyafshet es chazeh, up until the skin is peeled away, till the chest is still considered connected to the animal and it's a yad of the animal, and that's because it's very difficult to get it past the chest. However, once it goes past the chest, it's very easy to peel it away and it's not considered a yad anymore. And lastly, a margil, one who's peeling the skin off from the feet. In other words, he wants the hide to be so whole, first he slices a little bit around the feet and rolls that upwards or peels it upwards towards the thighs. Then he makes a small cut around the neck and peels it downwards, and he's basically trying to take the skin off completely from the animal as whole as possible. So in this case, kulei chibur, it's considered the whole thing is connected until he totally finishes it. Now, in regards to what, in all these cases, what does that mean that it's connected or it's not connected, that it's a yad or it's not yad? What's that relevant for? Letoma, in regards to toma, litame ulitame, to become tame or to be mitame other things. If it is considered a yad and something touches it, it will now be mitame the meat. Or if the meat itself was tame because it was nevela and it touches something else, it's going to be mitame that thing. But if it's not considered a yad anymore because it's reached this point that it's not considered connected, so then it will not be able to convey tuma one way or another. Now, just discussing this last case of margil pulling off the skin of the animal as whole of a manner as possible, or shal hatsavar, what about the hide, the skin that's right by the neck, which is a little piece that's left over because the majority of the skin was already peeled away, but there's still a little piece that's left over attached to the neck. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Emer, he says, in a chibur, it's not considered connected to the animal, or as a chomer, the chomer say, chibur is considered connected, ad sheyafshet es kuloi, until the entire thing is peeled away. Moving on to a similar discussion of a yad. So here we have a case, Ar Shiyesh Al Kizayis Basar. We have hide of a nevela animal that has a kizayis of meat on it. So the hide itself is not able to transfer tuma because once the hide comes off of the nevela animal, so it's not nevela because it's not edible. But this one has a piece of meat on it that's a kizayis that is able to transfer the tuma. So in a geya betziv hayotze mimenu, if someone touches a strand of meat, that's a tziv, it's like a long strand of meat that's coming out of this clump that's a kizayis, and he touches the strand, or ubisara shekinektoi, he touches the hair of the animal that's on the other side of the hide. In these situations, tame, he's tame. That's because either the long strand of meat or the hair, which is on the R, located right opposite where the meat is, that's considered a yad of the meat, which is nevela, and memela, the person's tame. However, hayu olav kishnei chatzai zesim. Let's say there's two half zesim of nevela meat. One half his eye is here, another half his eye is there. They're not connected. Metame b'masa v'loy b'maga. Rabbi Shmuel says that they're matame b'masa, not b'maga. In other words, if the whole hide is carried, the person's tame, because he's carrying a kizayis of nevela meat. But if he touches it, it's not matame him, because he's only touching half of a kizayis. However, Rekiva says loy b'maga v'loy b'masa. It's not matame b'maga or b'masa, because each piece is less than a kizayis. Now, Rekiva does agree, b'shnei chatzai zesim shetchavin b'kesim v'siton. If he had two half zesim of nevela, and he put a kesam, a thin piece of wood, such as a toothpick, and then he carried the toothpick, so he's not touching the meat. He took one end of the toothpick and poked it into one half of his eyes, the other end of the toothpick and poked it into the other half of his eyes, and he carries the toothpick without touching the meat. She would tell me that he is tame, because over here he's carrying a full kazayas of meat. So the question is, Rabbi Kiva matar ba'ar. So why is it that Rabbi Kiva is matar in this case of a hide that is two half of a kazayasim of nevela attached to it? Why isn't that like the case of the toothpick? The answer is, Mnei Sha'ar Mevatalon. That's because the hide is mevatalim and nullifies them. The hide is so chashuv since they're connected to the hide. And the main thing that he wants is the hide, is the ar. He doesn't really care about these two half kazesim of meat, so they're considered batal and they're not chashuv, and therefore they're not metame even b'masa, as opposed to the toothpick case. Clearly they're considered chashuv because he has two half kazesim and a little toothpick, so then they are going to be metame him b'masa. And we continue discussing toma over here, focusing more on the word shimer that we had yesterday, namely when we have a non-edible cover over something edible, so that non-edible thing is called the shimer, and sometimes it does help to transfer toma one way or another. That's what Mishnah tells us. Kulis hames, kulis is a general word referring to a bone that has marrow in it, and marrow is considered edible meat. If you cook a marrow bone, the marrow inside becomes soft and it's edible, and therefore this is considered basar, meat with a shimer on top of it. The shimer is the bone. So once again, we have kulis hames. This is a marrow bone coming from a person, v'kulis hamikdashin, or a marrow bone from a kedashim, which is an animal from the base of mikdash, that for whatever reason is pasul, maybe it's pigle or nice or something like that, and that means that it's tameh. So in a gebah, if somebody touches them, bein stumin bein nekuvin, whether it's closed or open, meaning whether the bone is completely covering the marrow, or if there's a hole in it and one can actually touch the marrow. Either which way, it doesn't make a difference. Tameh, the person's tameh, that's because it's a very high level of tumah, and therefore, even though the marrow is not accessible, it's sasum, the whole bone is wrapped around it, that shimer, the bone, is still able to transmit tumah. However, kulis nevela, of a kulis hasheretz, when we have a marrow bone from a nevela, just a dead animal, or a sheretz, so this is a lower level of tumah, then it makes a difference. And again, behind stumen tahar, if somebody touches his bone, when it's completely sealed, it's covering the marrow, there's no access to the marrow, he's tahar. This is a type of shimer which doesn't transmit tumah. However, nekuvin kalshahu, if it does have a hole, even if it's the smallest hole, metam b'maga, then it is metam b'maga. I mean, ansha af masa, how do we know even if he does masa, he carries the bone? Again, he's not touching the bone. Let's say it's on a plate and he's carrying the plate. How do we know he's tamei? Tamlem, because the pasuk says hanegea vehanoise. The pasuk really says hanegea benivlasa vehanoise es nevlasa, one who touches the nevela or one who carries the nevela. And so we see from here esher balcha maga balcha masa, that anything which is in the category of touching, namely if he touches it, he's going to be tamei. Same thing if he carries it, he's going to be tamei as well. However, loy balcha maga loy balcha masa, if it's not in the category of touching it, namely if he can't touch the marrow because the bone is completely covering it, so it's not in the category of masa either, and he's not going to be tamei in that case. Moving on to Mishnah Vav, discussing one more case of a shomer, beitzas hasheretz hamrukemes, the egg of a sheretz which already started having the fetus develop inside of it. There's a few different types of shratzim, tsav, leta'a, and chaymet, maybe translated as turtle and some sort of lizard. They lay eggs, and so we have this egg of the sheretz which has a fetus that's already developing inside of it. Tahir etz tahar, that's because the shomer, which is the eggshell, is completely covering the sheretz that's inside, and there's no access to it, so if a person touches it, he's tahar. However, nikva kalshahu, if the egg gets the smallest hole in it, tamea, so then it is tamei, and a person who touches the shimer, the eggshell, is going to become tamei because of the sheretz that's inside of it. Now moving on to a different case, which is pretty interesting. Achbar, a mouse, shechetzui basar v'chetzui adama. It's half meat and it's half earth. And this is subject to quite a discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim, what exactly that means, a mouse, which is half meat and half earth. So according to the Rav and Rashi and others, just like often when you have a garbage pile, so worms will just develop spontaneously in it. Same thing, this is some sort of mouse that didn't come from mouse parents. There's no father and mother mouse that gave birth to this one. It just developed on its own. According to others, this might not even be referring to a mouse. It might be talking about some sort of squirrel. But either way, it's half flesh, half earth. So in a geba basar, if he touches the flesh part, tameh, he's tameh. Whereas badama, if he touches the earth part of it, tahar, he's tahar. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that no, often a geba badama, shekinagina basar, tameh, even if he touches the earth part of it, which is corresponding to where the meat is, he's tameh. So Mishnah tells us, ha'ever ha'basar, hamadul dalin babahema. We have ever, which is a limb, basar, which is flesh or meat, hanging off of an animal. Now, there's a difference between aver and basar. Aver means the bone with the meat and the sinews and everything on it, and basar just means plain meat. Now, in both these situations, they're hanging off the animal. They got cut off, maybe bit off by an animal, and they're hanging on even by a thread. So what's their status? Metame tumas eichlin m'kaimon, where they're located, still hanging off the animal. They are metame tumas eichlin, which means they could contract tuma. However, tzrichin hechsher, they require hechsher. As we have mentioned previously, in order for food to be able to mekabel tuma, it has to undergo hechsher. It needs to be prepared to mekabel tuma, and that's by being touched by one of the seven liquids, and therefore in order for this to be mekabel tuma or metame tumas eichlin, it has to undergo hechsher. Now, nishchata behema. Let's say the behema was shechted. So hechshru b'dameha, this meat that's hanging off of it has now become mukhshar. It's now become prepared to be mekabel tuma with the blood of the animal. Divar Omer, that's Omer's opinion. Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon says loy hechshru, it's not mukhshar, because according to Rav Shimon, blood of the animal that came out when it was shechted is not something that's mukhshar kabel tuma. Now let's say the animal was not shechted, but mesa behema, the animal died. So here habasar tzarech hechshar, the meat that was hanging off of it needs hechshar to be mekabel tuma. Now ha'ever, what about the limb that was hanging off? Metame mishum ever menachayve, ein metame mishum ever nevela. It's Matami because of Avram and Achai, not because of Avram and Avelo, Divra Meir, that's Rameir's opinion, whereas Rabshim Matar, Rabshim's Matar. Let's just explain this last line of Matar because of Avram and Achai and not Avram and Avelo. We know of the concept of Avram and Achai, a limb that comes from a living animal, and that's usher for a Yid to eat. Even a non-Jew is not allowed to eat it. That's one of the Shevim's B'nai Noach, Avram and Achai, they're not allowed to eat it. And actually has a special Tumah called Tumas Avram and Achai. And really, for the most part, it's just considered like regular Avela. The same way when an animal dies without being shechted, it's Tumah because of an Avela, so too Avram and Achai is Tumah because of an Avela. Over here, the mission differentiated between Avram and Achai and Avram and Avela, and this is what the slight nafkamina is. Avram and Avela, an Aver that comes from an animal that died without Shechita, if the meat comes off of that Aver, it's still Tumah because of an Avela. However, Avram and Achai, the meat that's on that Aver, that's on that limb, is only Tumah because of an Avela as long as it's attached to the limb. However, the meat comes off of the Avram and Achai, then that meat is not Tumah anymore, and it's just considered regular plain meat. So that's the difference. Moving on to Mishnah Ches, talking about the same case, just with a person, Ha'ivir Ha'basram Ludalin Ba'adam, we have a person who has either a limb or some meat hanging off of him, Tahirin, they're Tahar, because they're attached to the person. Now, Mesa Adam, let's say the person died. Ha'basar Tahar, the meat that was hanging off of him, the flesh, that's Tahar. We know that flesh that comes off of a living person is Tahar. This happens very often. Sometimes you might nick a piece of your finger with a knife, you're cutting some vegetables or fruit in the kitchen, and you slice a small piece of flesh of your finger off. That's not Metame Tomas Mace, that's not a problem, that's flesh coming off of a person. And it's the same thing with his busser that was hanging off of the person and then he died, so that flesh that was hanging off is not Metame Tomas Mace. However, Ha'aver, the limb that was hanging off the person, Metame Shum Avram and Achai, it's Metame because of Avram and Achai, Ve'en Metame Shum Avram and Amace, it's not Metame like Avram and Amace, Devar Amel, that's Ramir's opinion, whereas Rabshim Matar, Rabshim's Matar. This parak, for the most part, discusses one of the Matnus Kahuna called Zroy L'Chaim and Keva. These are certain parts of a regular animal that's shechted, not a carbon, just a regular animal. You shecht an animal, you want its meat for Shabbos, you're making a barbecue, whatever it is. Parts of that animal have to be given to a kohen. It's matnas kahuna. It's one of the special things we have to give to a kohen. So the Mishnah says, Zroy L'Chaim v'Keva. This is the right foreleg. The L'Chayim are the jaws, and the Keva is one of the stomachs of the animal. Noigin ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. This is in both Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. B'fnei Abayis v'shlo b'fnei Abayis, with the Beis HaMikdash, even without the Beis HaMikdash. However, b'chulin, this is only with chulin, avoloi mukdashin, not with karbonas. And the reason why this is a chiddush is because shahayi b'din, you would have made the logical progression the other way around. Umay machulin, just like we're dealing with regular chulin, regular animals, she'en chayav machaz v'shaik. There's no chayav to give the chest and the thigh to the kayin, chayav in matanois, but they're chayav in matanois. That's what the Mishnah calls, zroel chayav and keva, just calls them matanois. While kadshim, karbonas, shechayav machaz v'shaik, certain karbonas, you have to give the chest and the thigh to the kayin. Ain't it in shechayav matanois? Shouldn't we say for sure that they're chayav in matanois? Tamalim, so the pasuk says, and I've given them to Aaron and his sons as a chayik forever. This is talking about the chaza and the shaik. What do we learn from here? Ain't like Ella Masha Aaron Be'inyan. He only has, meaning the kain only deserves that which is said in the pasuk. He only gets the chaza and the shaik of karbonos, and he does not get Zrei L'Chaim and Keva. That's reserved for regular chulin. So now that we mentioned this concept of the matanos, Zrei L'Chaim and Keva, we're not going to be discussing certain types of animals and whether or not they're chayv in Zrei L'Chaim and Keva. We require a little bit of introduction. First of all, we know that there's two different ways a person could be makdish an animal. He either could be makdish it as a carbon, or he could just donate it to Bedek Abayis to be used for the Beis HaMikdash upkeep fund, which basically means the animal is going to be taken and then sold, and the proceeds are going to be used to pay for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, these have two different levels of Kedusha. One is designated as a carbon itself. It's called Kedusha Sogof, that there's this Kedusha that, so to speak, permeates the very bones and the very essence of the animal. That's a very high level of Kedusha, and even if it gets a mum, it gets a blemish, and it can't be brought as a carbon, and we're going to deconsecrate it. We're going to take its Kedusha off of it. Still, there are certain limitations that it has because it had this very high level of Kedusha Zagof. However, when it gets donated just to Bet HaKabayis, that's called Kedusha's Damim. Its value has Kedusha, but the animal itself is not really considered Kadosh, and therefore, when it gets deconsecrated, when we take its Kedusha off of it, for example, when someone redeems it, when someone buys it, there aren't really any limitations. So now we get into some details. Mishnah Beis tells us, Kol HaKadshim Shekadim Mum Kavua Lekdeshan, any Kadshim that they had a Mum Kavua, they had a permanent blemish before they became Kadosh. And it basically means that they are not able to have Kedusha Zagof. Because again, Kedusha Zagof can only be an animal that's designated as a carbon. But if an animal had a mum kavua, it had a permanent blemish before we ever tried to make a kadosh, you can't designate it to be as a carbon, and therefore can never attain Kedusha Zagof. It can only get Kedusha's Damim, this lower level of Kedusha. So basically, Mishnah is saying any animal that has Kedusha's Damim, this lower level of Kedusha, and then if a niftu is redeemed, someone had bought it off of the Beis HaMikdash, so for all intents and purposes, it's considered like just a regular chulin animal. And chayavim b'chayav matanos. It's chayavim b'chayav matanos, which means that if this is a female animal and it gives birth to a male as its first baby, that's a bechar. We're going to be learning about that in the next Masechta. So it's chayav b'chayav. It's not considered like a hektish Kaddish animal, which doesn't have Din of Bechira, it's just a regular Chulin animal, and that first baby that's born to it is a Bechar. And it's also Chayv Matonis. If one shechts it, he has to give the Zerun L'chaim and Keva to the Kayin. Also, V'yotzen L'chulin L'gaz L'yaveit. It's considered 100% Chulin in regards to shearing it and working with it. Remember, we had said that there's a difference between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim, and that even when we deconsecrate an animal which has Kedushas Aguf, it still has certain limitations to it, and that's these two things that we just mentioned. An animal which used to have Kedushas Aguf, even once it gets a mum and we take its Kedusha off of it, one still has to treat it with a little bit of Kedusha, and he's not allowed to shear it if it's an animal that you can shear, and he's not allowed to work with it if it's an animal that could be worked with. However, this animal which just had Kedushas Damim, it becomes Chulin 100% when it's redeemed, and therefore it's allowed to be shorn and it's allowed to be worked with. Also, uvladan v'chalavan mutar l'achar b'dyanon, after it's been redeemed, any child that's born from it and any milk that's milked from it is 100% permitted. Furthermore, v'ashrechta mechutz potter, if one shechts it outside the base of Mikdash, he's potter, and v'ein oisin tamura, it's not able to accomplish a tamura. We know that if a person has a karbon and he tries to transfer its kedusha onto a different animal by saying zu tamura zu, this new animal is in exchange for this original animal. Actually, both of them are considered karbonos, but this one is not able to accomplish a tamura. And lastly, if it died even before being redeemed, meaning he didn't have a chance to redeem it yet from Hektesh, and it died, it could be redeemed now, because again, it doesn't have Kedushas Aguf, it only has Kedushas Damim. Now, there's two exceptions to this. Chutz min ha-Bechar min ha-Maiser, all these Dinim that we just mentioned, is not counting a Bechar, a firstborn animal, or Maiser, which means Maiser Behema. This is when a person takes all the new animals born to them that year, counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th one has Kedushas Maiser, that's Maiser Behema. Both of these have an inherent Kedusha, even if they already had a mum, and therefore, what we just said in the Mishnah doesn't apply to them. Now we go on to the next category. Kol shekadem hekdesh shanas mumon, anything that was made hekdesh before it developed a mum, which means he designated this as a karbon, has kedushas aguf, and only then it got a mum. Oy mum oiver lekdeshan, it got a mum oiver, which means a passing blemish. It's not a mum which is going to stay. It's not a mum kavua. It's something that's passing. It's going to get better, and the mum's going to go away. And so, even though it had that mum before it became kadosh, it still has the ability to attain this higher level of kedushas aguf. Now ulachar mikan, after it got that higher level of kedusha, no lahem mum kavua, it developed a permanent blemish, so now it can't be used as a karbon, the niftu, and then it was redeemed. So all these limitations are put on it. It's potter from bechar and matanos, even though it's not a karbon anymore and it can't be used as a karbon, it still has this higher level of kedusha. In some form, it is still considered somewhat like a karbon, and therefore, if it's a female animal and it gives birth to a firstborn male, it's not considered kaddish like a bechar. And also from matanos, if you shecht it, you don't have to give zrei lechem and give it to the kayin, and ve'ein yotzem l'chulin l'gaz lo yaved, it does not become 100% chulin, that now it's allowed to be shorn and worked. And v'ladim v'chalav and asr l'achar b'dyanon, even after redeeming it, one is not allowed to benefit from its children and its milk. And v'ashechten b'chutz chayiv, if one shechts it outside the base of Mikdash, he's chayiv for shechitas chutz. That's before it was redeemed. And v'oisin tamura, also before it was redeemed, if he makes a tamura, that this is in place of that, it actually works. And v'mesu, if it dies, yikaveir would have to be buried because there is no pidyon. Now we learned at the beginning of the parak of the concept of zrei l'chayim in keva, that when a person shechts a regular animal, chulin animal, he wants to use it for a Shabbos chalon, for a barbecue, whatever it is, he has to give the zraya, the right leg, the l'chayim, the jaws, and the keva, the stomach, to a kayin. That's part of the matnas kahuna. However, as we're going to learn right now, a bechar, a firstborn animal, which is kadosh right when it's born and it has to be given to a kayin, that is potter from zraya l'chayim and keva. And so here we have a situation, the Mishnah tells us, bechar shenis arv b'meya, an animal that's a bechar, that got mixed up with 100 regular chulin animals. So is man shemeya shechtin is kulon, when there's 100 people shechting all of them, in other words, when each animal is owned by a different person, partin is kulon. So that Bechar that got mixed up potters all of them, because each person is shechting his own animal. At least he thinks it's his animal. He's not really so sure if it's the Bechar, if it's his own. And then if a Kayin comes and says, look, you just shechted the animal, you have to give me the Zerah L'chaim and Keva, he could tell the Kayin, prove to me that I didn't shecht the Bechar. And so that one Bechar potters all of them from Zerah L'chaim and Keva. Now, Echad Shechet is Kulon, let's say one is shechting all of them. In other words, let's say all 100 animals were owned by one person. So then Pachin Loi Echad, they potter at least one for him. In other words, one of these animals over here is a Bechar, which is not Chayv in Zerah L'chaim and Keva, so he's allowed to choose one animal for himself and say, I'm keeping this whole animal for myself, but the rest of them, he has to give Zerah L'chaim and Keva to the Kayin. Similarly, HaShech L'Kayin L'Nachri, Pater Min HaMatanos, if someone shechts an animal for a Kayin or for a non-Jew, he's Pater from giving Matanos, because neither a Kayin or a non-Jew are Chayv in Matanos, V'Hamishtat V'Imayin Tzarech Shi'ur Shayim, and one who's joining in a partnership with them, they own the animal together, they have to mark off the place of the animal, of the Zerah L'chaim and Keva, so everyone can know that this is not not part of his ownership, and therefore he doesn't have to give it. Now, if when the kohen sells the animal to the Israel, he tells him, I'm selling you the whole animal except for the matanos, patim matanos, the Israel is pot from giving matanos. Now, Amar, let's say a yid tells the butcher, Machar li b'nei me'el shel para, sell me the insides of that cow, and there's matanos in them. As we said, keva is one of the matanos, and a keva is the stomach, so it's part of the inside. So, nosan l'kayin, he has to give that to the kohen, ve'in menako le'min adamim, and the butcher doesn't have to lower the price, he doesn't have to take off that value. However, lachemenu mishkal, if you bought these things from him by weight, and included in that weight was one of the matanos, nosan l'kayin, he has to give them to the kohen, umenako le'min adamim, and the butcher does have to subtract, he does have to take off that value from what he's charging the person. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Dalid, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.